Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show on this Monday, September 28th. I can't believe we're almost in October. Hope you all are doing well. This is our Monday Q&A episode where you ask your real estate related questions and I answer them. You can do the very same thing by asking your question just by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. So Morris Invest is our website. /Clayton will allow you to ask a 30-second question. Try to keep it 30 seconds and less about real estate, funding, et cetera. And I will try to answer those questions for you here on the show. Okay, our first question comes from Ethan.
Hello, Clayton. My question is about how to get my bank-owned mortgages into an LLC instead of under my personal name. And one way I understand of doing this might involve first putting it into a living trust, which the banks must allow, as I understand it. But then from there, how do I get it into an LLC? I'd appreciate any insight you have on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ethan, for that question around transferring your personal property over to an LLC. Now, this is I know people get really tripped up by this question, but it doesn't have to be difficult. You mentioned a living trust, and that's a great way to do it. Obviously, transferring it to a living trust, you want to notify your bank and say, hey, you know, we've transferred this over. Can you please assign this to the living trust? That's one way to think about it. Another thing to think about, too, is one of the ways that we've done it is to assign the debt. So the debt itself can be assigned to your LLC, and we've asked our accounting team to do that. So yes, it might still live in your personal name, but then assigning the debt itself over to your LLC, that's something you want to talk with your accounting team about, of course. You know, I would explore some other options too. You know, we've talked about Garrett Sutton's great book, The Loopholes of Real Estate. I recommend reading. He's a fantastic real estate attorney. Of course, he's worked with us. He's Robert Kiyosaki's real estate attorney. He's written a great book called The Loopholes of Real Estate. And he talks about being able to, you know, move that property over out of your personal name into an LLC. And so Ethan's question, like, why is he asking that question, right? I mean, that's one of the, you might be sitting there listening like, well, why does he care about that? Well, it comes down to liability protection. And Ethan is right to ask that question because you do not really want to own properties in your own name for liability reasons. You know, you might own your own house and you might have your kids' college fund and whatever in your own name. And unfortunately, you might end up having a tenant in a property that you own in your own name. And what if that tenant slips and falls or there's some other legal issue that would befall you? You don't want that tied to your personal assets. You want that rental property to be owned in an LLC. So it all comes down to liability protection, that if, God forbid, somebody needs to sue you, you know, as Garrett Sutton says, it's not a matter of if someone will sue you. It's a matter of when. And if you're in business, you will have to deal with lawsuits from time to time. That's just the way it goes. You know, if you're a W-2 employee and you work for somebody else, you clock in, clock out, you know, chances are you're not going to be sued. But if you want to be an entrepreneur and start to really build wealth, you're going to have to deal with these things. That's the real world reality. And so you want to have that liability protection for your property. So if, God forbid, someone slips and falls and has some issue or there's a, who knows, they will only then be able to sue the LLC that owns that rental property. You do not want that property LLC to have many other assets in it and open yourself up to liability issues. So again, check out Garrett Sutton's great book called The Loopholes of Real Estate. But yes, talk to your tax accountant about how you can maneuver that so that you can place this into a living trust. Also, think about, you know, a land trust is an option as well. And how you can assign that debt over to your LLC out of your personal name. All things to consider. All right. Our next question comes from Ed, and he has a question about the property you own, converting that to a rental property. Here is Ed.
Yes, if you own your primary residence outright, you know, should you turn it into a rental when you plan to move out? Assuming, based on what I've been told by a local rental agent, that it will not reach the 1% rule. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed, for that question. That's a great question. You know, I call this the allure of the first property syndrome. I've talked about this over the years, and that is you live in a property, maybe you have a townhouse, and you move, and you think, oh, I love this place. I fell in love with it. It was the first place I ever bought. I'm just going to convert it into a rental property. Even though the property taxes are really high, I can't get as much rent as I would like, et cetera, but I'm going to move nearby and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to even manage this property myself because I live nearby. Now, I say this as a cautionary tale because a number of years ago, one of our clients at Morris Invest, before they started working with us, they owned a rental property in the Manayunk district of Philadelphia, a great area over the river. And they had this townhouse that they bought when they first got married. Well, you know, it was a two-bedroom place, and of course, they wanted to have kids, and so they expanded. But they kept this townhome, and so then they moved. Now, they've kept this place for years, and it's been cash flowing, but the tenant living in the property, et cetera, but it's been they've never really made a profit. So they asked me, they said, you know, what would you do with this property? And we ran the numbers on the phone. And they were literally at a negative cash flow. I mean, because they didn't anticipate the taxes they would have to pay on this property. So they were well below a 1% return. They were running a negative. And they said, well, what would you do with this property? And the thing is that they love this townhouse. It didn't suit their family anymore because they expanded. They had kids. They couldn't live in it themselves, but they had this like emotional attachment to this property. So what did they do? Well, they asked me, you know, what would you do? And I said, look, if this were my property, if this were my house, I would immediately call a realtor and sell this place. I would get it on the market immediately. I would take the cash, the profit that I have in this property. I'd roll it into another round of rental properties. So if the numbers don't make sense, you cannot massage them to make it work. You see what I'm saying? Like you can't fudge the numbers. The numbers don't lie. So if the numbers are telling you that the cash flow is not going to exceed 1%, you're paying too much in property taxes. You can't fake those numbers. So do not get attached to that property. And right now there is such a lack of inventory in this country that houses are selling in under a week. I mean, I have a, you know, person that works on our team. Lives in upstate New York. He had a property. He wants to move to Florida because God knows no one wants to live in New Jersey and New York. And so he wanted to sell his house. He listed it. And within 5 days, he already had a buyer and they're moving to Florida. So do not sit on this property in this market right now. If you know that you can get a profit, turn that money into another rental property that does cash flow more than that amount. And like I said, our team would be willing to help you on that. So you do not have to be scared about that, but do not fall in love with that property. There's so many people listening to you right now that are in that exact same boat. They're holding on to a rental property because they love it. It was their first out of college place that they bought, but the cash flow is not there. Don't try to massage it and pretend that you're going to create numbers that don't work. Thank you, Ed, for that question. All right. Our next question today comes from Sally. Let's listen to Sally's question.
Good morning, Clayton. My name is Sally. I was wondering if you can give us an idea on how much of a return should we be getting on an investment? 5%, 2%, whatever it is, I need to know, and I also need to know how to figure it out. What is the best investment before we actually invest? If you can help us with that, that would be super. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Sally. I really appreciate the question. This is the ultimate question. It's the most important question is what is your ROI? What is your return on investment? And so if you go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MorrisInvest, you'll see a number of videos there that will walk you through that process into understanding your rental property numbers, what to look for, what to expect. So let me just say that. Number one, but let me answer your question a little bit more nebulously if I can, not to skirt specific details, but you know, you want to think about that. Let's think about where your money is right now. If you've got money in a savings account, right? Interest rates are at record low levels. So if your money is sitting in a U.S. savings account, you're making probably like 0.001%, and there's talk of negative interest rates coming, meaning that if you're putting your money in the bank might actually start charging you to hold your money. So if you think about that, right now, inflation in the United States is about 2%. Well, the Federal Reserve last week announced that they are planning to let inflation run hot, meaning that they're going to allow it to go to 3%, perhaps even higher, for as long as it takes. So what does that mean? This is really important for you to understand that if your money is sitting in a savings account, you've got $100,000 sitting in a U.S. savings account, you're making 0.001% return, and the inflation rate in the United States set by the Federal Reserve is, well, not set by them, but largely influenced by them, is at 2%. That means every day your money is losing money, every day. Now, real estate has always been a hedge against inflation. So even in our most boring markets where we build our rental properties at Morris Invest, we're seeing, you know, anywhere from 4% on the low end, 4%, meaning that if the U.S. inflation rate is 2%, we're seeing an appreciation of 4% just on the appreciation number. So we're beating it by 2% just on appreciation. That's not even counting the cash flow and the tax benefits. So you want to be thinking about your types of investments as a hedge against inflation. And real estate is largely the number one way to invest in a performing assets in a performing asset that is a hedge against inflation. So just on that number, that should be really important to you. Then the next set of questions should be, okay, well, then what is the overall net return on that investment in a rental market beyond inflation? And, you know, that's a personal question, because if the stock market is yielding you a 2% return, 3% return in your 401k, are you okay with that? Or do you want to be at 3%, 4%, 5%? For me, on our rental properties at Morris Invest, our lowest is a net return of about 8%, anywhere from 8 to 10% net return. And when you factor in a whole bunch of other things like cost segregation analysis and additional tax benefits, it's well beyond that. So it really matters, like it comes down to your personal preference, like what type of cash flow and return do you want to see? I personally would not be investing in anything below 6%. Like 6% is still better than the stock market. It's better than inflation. But for instance, our rental properties that we build as new construction at Morris Invest and our company is going to be about a minimum 8%. And then it goes well above that. So again, that's kind of the framework that I look for. You know, there are obviously, if you're a day trader on Wall Street and you're sitting there in front of 30 computer screens and you're trading penny stocks and trading stocks with lightning fast, you know, millisecond trades, that's a whole different animal, and you can probably do pretty well if you're a day trader and you understand how that stuff works. I'm not, and I will never be. But those are the types of things that we look for and the types of investments that we pull the trigger on at our company. We want to make sure that when we're building properties, we're in neighborhoods that can yield those types of results, that where we have a, you know, lower taxes, where we're able to generate a higher rate of return from a rental income perspective. So if a duplex costs roughly $300,000, is it spitting off about $3,000 a month in rent? These are all things to consider. Again, I would please watch our videos at youtube.com/Morris Invest. Walk through this process, download the PDFs that we provide, and map out your own course on this. This is going to come down to a personal preference, because you might say, you know, 2% is fine. That's right at the inflation rate. I'm fine not making much more of a return than that. I'm kind of keeping pace with inflation. That's fine. I'm kind of breaking even. If that's your tolerance, then you need to be okay with that. And that needs to be one of your determining factors. So again, It really comes down to a personal preference, I would say. Again, check all of that information out just by going to youtube.com/MorrisInvest. So thank you so much, Sally, for that question. If you have any further questions, please reach out to our team by going to morrisinvest.com. That's our website. You can book a 30-minute call with our team where we walk you through step-by-step how to start investing in real estate. Like I said, most of our properties, the down payment on our rental properties is, you know, right around the $40,000, $45,000 mark for down payment. Then we have all kinds of financing built in as well. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, please book a call with us. We'd love to talk with you. But we'd love to hear from you. Any questions you have about real estate, funding, financing, et cetera, please go to our website and you can leave us a voicemail to play here on the show just by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Leave a 30-second or less voicemail so that we can play it right here on the show and try to dive into your real estate and financing related questions. Thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week as we enter the October season. Thank you so much. Now go out there, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.